The run that we want to talk about today, at the beginning of Pesachim, addresses the issue of how early, before Leil Yudalit, can you engage in Bedika and consider it a fulfillment of your Chiyuv Bedika. If I get up on Tu B'Shvat and I check my house, is that a Bedika? So there's the Shita HaRavid, and then there's the Shita the Baal Amor. And then the Ran quotes his own opinion. The Shita HaRavid is that you can check your house right after Shkia on Yud Gimel. So it's not yet Seis HaKochavim of Leil Yudalit, but you could be Bodek your house. And the Ravid is actually in favor of this. He actually endorses Bedika at that early hour, even though it's before Seis HaKochavim. And the reason for that is because the Ravid says he wants you to have a bias baduk by the time you get to Tseis HaKochavim. Now again, from Shkia to Tseis, I don't know if you have enough time to complete your Bedika, but just in conceptual terms, what the Ravid envisions is that you start your Bedika on what's technically your Gimel at the point of Bein HaShvashos, and you finish your Bedika with the inception of your Dalit, meaning after nightfall on your Dalit. And that's fine. The Ran himself is going to quote a Baal Amar that would allow an earlier Bedika, even earlier than Bein HaShmashos on Yud Gimel. But before we get to the Baal Amar, let's just say a few words about the Ravid. The Ravid would apparently divide Bedika up into two dimensions. There's one Bedika which we would call a Chovas Gavra, and there's another element of Bedika which is a Bayis Baduk, which means that I have to make sure that I'm not keeping Chometz in my house. And the Ravid wants to see the following happening. He would like you to make sure that the Bayis is Baduk with the inception of Yudalit, meaning that as far as Yudalit is concerned, I don't have any Chometz in my possession. So he's going to allow for the Kiyum HaMitzvah right before Yudalit. That's when I'm going to implement my Bedika. And then by the time I get to Yudalit, you know, it's a half hour, an hour later, I already have a Bayis Baduk. So I'm never keeping Chometz in my house past Yudalit. But this seems to be a very unique sheet of the Ravid. And perhaps the Ravid is going as far as to say the following, that the Kiyum of Bedika, as a positive Kumbhasei, is generated by the Losaseh, so to speak, the Iser of Shehiyas Bayis without Chometz. With Chometz, right? Shehiyas Bayis im Chometz. We've discussed, again, I don't want to go through all the rice that we brought, that there are two dimensions to Bedikas Chametz. One is the Kiyum of Bedikas Chametz, and the other is to avoid the Iser of Shehiyas Bayis with Chametz in it. So that's how the Ravid separates the two. Now what I want to show you is the Ran. If you have the Ran, it's on Aleph Amud Beis, and it's the Dibra Maschil Ve'ika. So in the way it's printed in my Gemara, classical old-fashioned Gemara Vilna, it's the third of the wide lines in the Ran. He says Ve'ika Madiyomar. He's referring here to the Baal Amor. Shein bo lahaktiv livdo biyigimel. Right? He's allowing a bedik as early as yigimel. We're not talking about Bein HaShmash is going into Yudalit. That was the Ravid. He says Rashoi, he's allowed to do so with one condition. For who she yivdok li or haner v'afilu biyom. There are two chidushim here in the Baal Amor. Chidush number one is that you can fulfill your chiyuv bedika during the day of Yud Gimel. Chidush number two is that if you want to fulfill your chiyuv bedika on Yud Gimel, then you must use Or Haner. His language is very quick, is very clear. He says, Vahushi Yivdok Li Or Haner. Afil Biyo. So there are two chidushim. One is that you could fulfill this mitzvah as early as your gimel, which we didn't see in any Rishon until this point. Even the Balavar only went as far as Bein HaShmashos. And number two, there's a concept called Or Haner, as a precondition of Bedika, and that can be fulfilled even by day. Mm-hmm. You know, the Gemara says, Or Haner Yafal Bedika is only at night, but now we're going a step further, and even though the perfect Or Haner would be during night, but there is such a thing as Or Haner during the day. And at the end of this whole presentation, after bringing a little bit of a raya from the Yerushalmi, he says, V'chein das haraz ha-levi, Zalmini Rabbein Ezrachi ha-levi, the Baal HaMor. The lesser. And the Ran rejects it. What did it say in the Yerushalmi? And we'll see why he rejects it. The Yerushalmi says, V'chi yesh chama balayla, hada di amra afil biyom, sarach bedika liyar haner. So the Yerushalmi seems to be taking the position of the Baal HaMor that is bedika liyar haner even biyom. So the Ran comments on that. He says, "Hosam b'Yerushalmi mashma adim bola haktim biyom yud gimel eino rashoi." Just the opposite. You derive the opposite conclusion from the Yerushalmi. So again, if we have chance, not today, but we'll go through the Yerushalmi line by line and see the way the Baal HaMor interpreted the Yerushalmi, the way the Ran interpreted the Yerushalmi. But the Ran's interpretation is that there was no permission in the Yerushalmi for bedika on yud gimel. And that's what the Gemara meant to say when it says v'lama b'layla. Why do we need layla? And the Gemara answers because ein b'dikas haner yafa ela b'layla. And when the Gemara says ein b'dikas ner yafa ela b'layla, the Gemara is rejecting the havamina that you could be bodeg during yud gimel. So in other words, we have here a havamina in Yerushalmi and a maskana. The Havamina in the Yerushalmi is that you can be bodek on Yud Gimel during the day. You'll have to use Or Haner. And the Gemara rejects it according to the Ran's interpretation, since there's no Or Haner Yofel Abdika by day, and Or Haner is a prerequisite for Abdika. Therefore, the Gemara in the Yerushalmi completely rejects the possibility of Abdika on Yud Gimel. Now, we're not yet up to Leil Yud Gimel. Again, we can open a different discussion about Leil Yud Gimel, Arl Yud Gimel, meaning a full 24 hours early, because if the Yerushalmi, according to the Ran, is rejecting a Bedika on Yud Gimel, that's only because we don't have an Or Haner Yofel Bedika. The possibility now exists that maybe we could have a Bedika going into Yud Gimel. So that's going to be our next issue here. So we can break up our question here into many, many different component parts. When is the earliest time for Bedika? First we start with the Ravid, and the Ravid says, Bein HaShmashos of Yud Gimel. Then we go to the Baal HaMor, who says, even on Yud Gimel itself. And the Baal HaMor stipulates that you have to have an Or Haner. That which the Yerushalmi says, that Or Haner is not Yofel of Bedika Bayom, that's only Lechatchila, but you know what, we can push it in. The Ran holds that Havamina was completely rejected. There's no possibility of Bedika on Yud Gimel Bayom. And then we could ask the question, what would the Ran say about Bedika Lel Yud Gimel, meaning Arl Yud Gimel? So I have here a Shulchan Aruch that I wanted to share with you. And this is the last Se'if in the main Siman of Bedika. The main Siman of Bedika, which is Tof Lamed Gimel, has 11 sub-se'ifim. And the last one is the following. He says, Hamachabed Chedro b'yud gimel b'nisan. Okay, we'll have to see if this is by day or by night, but he's cleaning up his room. U'machabed livdok hachamiz l'yavar. He decides that once he's cleaning up his room, he wants to ready fulfill the mitzvah bedika, and he's going to, any chametz that he finds, he'll destroy. V'nizar, and he's absolutely careful. Shelo lahachnis sham od chametz. Says the mechaber, no. Afal pichein sorech livdol galel yudal. He does not fulfill the mitzvah bedika on Yud Gimel. This is the last Seif in Tov Lamed Gimel. If you have the old classic Mishnah Berurah, it's on the equivalent of page 11. Now, if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says that Afilu im bodak li or haner bechorin ustokim gam ke tsarech lachzor velivdok belayla kechol Yisrael. In other words, they establish bedika on the night, and even though he's very careful and he uses an or haner, he's looking in chorin ustokim, nevertheless he's not fulfilling his mitzvah. He has to be bodak together with all of Klal Yisrael. Okay. Then he adds another svara. He says, "Shalol lechali bein bedika lebedika."
But the svara is that to say that it's ain't a bedika gemur shemin nishtare chametz, but ezer gula. That doesn't make sense because you can make the same argument after you do the bedika at night as well.
Right. Who says this bedika is going to be so great at night? So that's why I think the Mishnah Berurah is adding this element here of lola chalik ben bedika lebedika, meaning Chazal set up a specific time period, and you're preempting. In other words, it's like you checked your house on Tumishvat. That's not a bedika. There's got to be a shas mitzvah. There's got to be a time period for the mitzvah. Now I want to read to you one thing I found over here. How many of you would have this photocopy of pages 10 and 11 of this book? Yeah, you have such a thing? Now, we began this yesterday, but before we go on, I'm going to try to summarize what we did yesterday for those who maybe weren't here, or if anybody who needs a quick chazara. But first, I want to mention to you that on this machaber that we saw, there's a comment of the Be'er Heitev. Now, usually we skip the Be'er Heitev in favor of the Mishnah Berurah, but sometimes it pays to look at the Be'er Heitev. I'm a newcomer to the Be'er Heitev, honestly. I generally don't look in the Be'er Heitev, but here he says something very important. This is the Be'er Heitev, again on the same page that we had before, in Sivkot Yud Aleph. And he says the following, that when the Mechaber rejects the possibility of a bedika on Yud Gimel, meaning he says that in any event you'll have afal pifein tzorach livdok b'leil Yud Dalet, he says dafka b'yom. When it says b'Yud Gimel, it means during the daylight hours of Yud Gimel. Aval im bodak b'leil Yud Gimel, and I assume he means the night going into Yud Gimel, because otherwise, you know, ma'ika mashmal, and that's exactly right. Is ein tzorach lachzor v'livdok b'leil Yud Dalet. And at this point, the Be'er Heitev, I don't know, I'm not sure who he's quoting. Usually he's based on the Magen Avraham, but I can't promise you. He's assuming that the whole problem with the Dikon Yud Gimel, not the way we saw in the Mishnah Berurah, that he has to be Choser V'Laila, Kikol Yisrael, Olachalik V'Bedika B'Dika, leaving all that out. Oh, I see now, I didn't notice the Shaar Tzion says that this Svara, which we saw in the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar Tzion is the Mishnah Berurah himself, he tells you to look in the Magen Avraham. So if I'm not mistaken here, we have machlokas here between the Magen Avraham and the Be'er Heitev. Again, I'm assuming the Be'er Heitev is quoting someone, I'm not sure who he's quoting. According to the Be'er Heitev, when the Mechaber rejects an early bedika, as we call it, that's only because it's during the daylight hours. And then we come back to the Ran's business that ein aner yofel bedika even b'di'evet, and you're going to have to repeat the bedika. But if he had done the bedika b'leil Yud Gimel, ein tzarech lachzor v'livdok b'leil Yud Dalet. If he used the ner and he was very careful about his bedika, he had in mind that this is going to be a bedika, then he fulfilled his mitzvah of bedika. Now wait a second, let me just ask you the following question, because I want to lead into the Magen Avraham's opinion. is there a chiyuv bedika on Leil Yud Gimel?
If a person is going traveling, there's a chiyuv.
Let's assume he's not traveling. Again, I don't want to get, you know, Blin Eder in the pages that I gave you. We'll get into the sugi of traveling, what's called the Yotzei B'Sheyar. I'm not talking about traveling. I just want to know the following. Is there a chiyuv bedika on Yud Gimel? We're not talking about a travel. No. There's no chiyuv on Yud Gimel. And yet, it seems from the Be'er Heitev that he fulfills his mitzvah of bedika. Haraya, he's not obligated on the 14th to repeat his bedika. So I think that intuitively, before I get back to the Be'er Heitev, the Magen Avraham is right. The Magen Avraham is saying, I'm not just going to allow you to solve the problem of Ar HaNer and do the bedika on Leil Yud Gimel. You need to do a bedika when there's a chiyuv of mitzvahs bedika. You want to use this bedika to fulfill your obligation. Well, did you fulfill your obligation? The answer is there's no shas chiyuv over here. Or, to say it in another more dramatic way, what's the difference between Leil Yud Gimel and Tu B'Shvat or Rosh Hashanah? You know, you're going to do a bedika before the shas chiyuv. Every mitzvah requires a chiyuv. Asher kitshanu b'mitzvoso v'tzivanu. Well, there's no mitzvah on Yud Gimel. So Rabbo said, what do you see from the Be'er Heitev? You know, it's just the mathematical conclusion that I think we have to derive from the Be'er Heitev. He says that I'm not chayev in bedik on the 14th. That there's a chiyuv bedik even without a chiyuv bedik. So that's an interesting thing. There's a fundamental machlokas between the poskim on the following issue. Is there such a thing as a chiyuv mitzvahs bedika without a chiyuv? In other mitzvahs, for example, we would say that, you know, you can, let's say, there's a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Rambam about a woman who's exempt from a mitzvah, right? It's man gerom a mitzvah. Can she fulfill the mitzvah voluntarily? And the Mechaber says, no, you know, she's part of the mitzvah. I mean, again, it's not the Mechaber, it's based on the Rambam. She doesn't have a kiyum mitzvah. The Torah never obligated her. If there's no obligation, there's no kiyum mitzvah. And yet, the Rambam, based on Rabbeinu Tam, disagrees with the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, no, she has the option of fulfilling a mitzvah. There's such a thing as a kiyum mitzvah without a chiyum mitzvah. And now we have a machlokas here with regard to Bdikas Chometz. So let's go back to the Raivid that we started with. The Raivid allows you and even encourages you to do the Bedika with Shkia Sachama of the 13th. And we wanted to suggest that the reason for that is he wants to make sure that the bias is Baduk by Leil, by Tzeisach Kochavim. Notice he wants to set up a Bedika, and the meaning or the significance, the goal of this Bedika is to make sure that I'm not holding on to Chometz on Yudalit. Even when the clock strikes, you doubt. Why? Because the mitzvah bedika is a twofold mitzvah. It's not just the maisa bedika and the chovetz gavra. It's also to set up a bias baduk. And I don't want to delay setting up a bias baduk. So I want to make sure that with tzeisach kochavim of yudalit, my bias is a bias baduk. How do I do so? So the Raivid had a problem. On the one hand, it can't be that, you know, a week before Pesach you're going to make it into a bais baduk, because that's not going to be a fulfillment of your mitzvah. On the other hand, the mitzvah requires that it be a bais baduk with Leil Yudalit. So where did he find the, you know, the compromise? Are you with me, Rabbi? So you're looking at me like a stairwell. What I'm saying is there are two. It's Shnei Suma Machishim Zetze. We have a tug of war. Because on the one hand, the Raivid insists that Yudalit has to be a bais baduk. On the other hand, the Raivid understands very well that I have to fulfill my mitzvah bedika. How can I fulfill my mitzvah bedika and in such a way that already with the emergence of Yudalit, it's already a bais baduk? Then by definition, I'm going to have to do my bedika before Yudalit.
Why does that have to be a bais baduk already in the beginning of Yudalit?
Because Chazal set it up that we don't, just like there's a mitzvah d'orais and tashbisu with chatzos. This was my whole shit yesterday, right? So you can't leave possession of chametz past chatzos. The Rabbanan established that b'tchilas leil yudalit, right? That was the Rambam that we spent a lot of time on yesterday. There was a double takana midirei sofrim. The Rambam says there were two takanas midirei sofrim. One is that you need bedika, and you cannot fulfill your mitzvah tashbisa without bedikah on a darbonah level. And number two, right, even though there's bittul, right? And number two, there was another takaras chacham in the Rambam says that you have to already be bodik b'tchilas leil yudal. It's got to be tchilas leil yudal, such that a scholar is not allowed to involve himself in the study of Torah before tchilas leil yudal because he may miss tchilas leil yudal. And we had a whole discussion that it's not based on zrizim akdim lemitzvahs and the whole nine yards. Oh, says the Raivid now goes a step further. He says that if the Rabbana made this takana, that you have to have a bias baduk, you can't be in possession of chametz past the knisas leil yudalid, then when are you going to do your bedika? So the Raivid had to cut out a period of time which is close enough to yudalid, such that now he can be makayim his mitzvah bedika, in such a way that already with the entry of Yudalid, the bias is already bought. So what did he come up with? What was his, how do you say in English, hamtza'ah? What was his solution?
After Shkia.
After Shkia. That was his period. That the period of after Shkia, we call it Bein HaShmashos, has two elements to it. It's enough of Lila such that now I can fulfill my mitzvah, but it's not enough of Lila such that I'm still allowed to hold on to my chavetz and I'm not violating Shehiyas bias Sheishbo. And that's lachatchilu. If you would ask the Raivid when to do it, this was the minhag agro as well, with shkia of Yud Gimel going into Yud Dalet, that's when you should be involved in your bedika. If you ever see like a brisker or somebody who goes crazy to start his bedika, like what's the rush? It's all based on this understanding of the Raivid together with the minhag agro. You know, if you have that picture now. The question now becomes, well, can I envision a kiyum mitzvah bedika on Yud Gimel? And intuitively our answer would be absolutely no, because you're not a bar chiyuva. And here's where the Ber Heitev suggests, in the way he reads the Mechaber, that as long as you can obviate the problem of ner yofel bedika, then ain't a chinami. We're going to extend the possibility of a kiyum mitzvah bedika even earlier than Yudalid, earlier than Shkia Sacham, as early as Leil Yud Gimel. Now again, the Ber Heitev doesn't go a step further. He's not willing to introduce Leil Yud Beis. So I don't know exactly. Yeah, you're getting into really muddy water over here, because once you already broke through the ice and you're willing to validate a bedika on Leil Yud Gimel, maybe I should validate a bedika on Leil Rosh Hashanah. I don't know how far we're going to go. So we're going to have to come up with some svara here. The Ber Heitev doesn't say a word. He doesn't even tell you his source. That there is a kiyum mitzvah bedika on Leil Yud Gimel, but not earlier than Leil Yud Gimel. Then the Ran could fit in with this bala, with this Ber Heitev. I'm not promising you that the Ran, I can't twist the Ran's arm, but the Ran's whole objection to the Bala Mar is, how can the Bala Mar validate a bedika on Yud Gimel? What about Araner Yofel Bedika? So the Bala Mar understood the Yerushalmi that there is Araner Yofel Bedika even by day. The Ran couldn't tolerate that position. So therefore, without Araner, and during the day, it's meaningless to have it's futile to have an Araner. Therefore, that's not Bedika's Chametz. Comes along the Ber Heitev, but what if I solve the problem of Or Haner Yofel Bedika, right? That you need Lila for the Or. And that I can do by implementing my bedika when? Leil Yud Gimel. He says, Eino Chinami. He fulfilled his mitzvah. And tomorrow night he has no mitzvah whatsoever. The Magen Avraham, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says, no. We need a Shas Chovoso. When is the Shas Chovoso? You know, Ein L'chalik Vein Bedika L'udik. You have to be bodik together with all of Klal. So that's only on R. Liyadal. Again, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't know. He's not recognizing the Raivid with the Gon. You know, he's talking about classical poskim, you know, in the Mechaber, that the Bedika should be implemented with Seisa Kochavim on Yudal. But from the perspective of the Mishnah Berurah, there's no such thing as doing a Bedika and claiming that you're Mekayim the Mitzvah when there's no Shas Chovasa. And therefore, we're not going to recognize a Kiyum Bedika without a Chovas Gavra, without a Chiyum Bedika. Mashenken, according to this Ber Heitev, I think, is such a thing as a Kiyum Bedika without a Chiyum Bedika. And the Nafkamina is, what about tomorrow night? on Leil Yudalid whether or not you have to do another medit. Do you want to take this and pass it around? I mean, just I don't want you to think I invented this.
No, I haven't. Where is the Raivid?
The Raivid is right here on the side of the Ran. I can try to read it to you if I find it here. It says the following. Arli Arbasa. The Raivid is bothered. Why does it say Arli Arbasa in the Mishnah? It's the first Raivid in Hasagas on the Rif. He says the Rif says because it's a Lashon Saginar. You know, we don't want to use a Lashon Maguna. He wants a Lashon Mahal. He says Ein Atam Ein Lo Ta Zatam Ein Lo Ta. You know, Hot Nishkin Ta. You know. He goes on to, okay, I don't know if we have to go through this whole thing, but let's just see his pshat. There are many Mishnais where it does say Lila, fine. Oh. And he says the following. Tani or Mipnei Adayin Shadayin Yesham or Hayom V'yeno Choshech. Okay. Right? So Choshech equals Lila, that's what we identify as Seisak Kochavim, but here the Mishnah says R. And he gives this is the Sugya Mapeles, R Lishmonim. I don't think we have a chance to go through that Sugya. He says the following. He says Litzorech Nishnu. Now it's the Mishnah when it says the word R, it was deliberate about that. Shalom Tomar, you shouldn't say the following. Kolzman Sheishbo R, even though it's not Choshech, Yehi Nidon Kiyom Shalafanov, let's call it the day before. Lekach Shanu Bahem, meaning in this Mishnah and the Mishnah in Mapoles, R. Vitana de Beishmul, Shoshana Laila, Bolafar Shah Mishnah. Fine. So the Ravid says that R means it's not yet Choshech. And the Havamina was that maybe you cannot do the Bedika until Choshech. And the Ravid says, no, let's have the Bedika when it's still R. Then we have the Balamor. I'm looking for the Balamor. Here's the Balamor, also on the first page in the Rif. And he says the following. Alright, so I'm not finding the Balamor, just a second. Maybe it's this Balamor. Okay, I don't know. Alright. Anyway, the Ran quotes the Balamor as we saw before. B'chein das, Rabbi Nizrachi al-Levi. Okay. Now, as I told you before, what I wanted to study with you, but first just a little bit of a review, is the following issue, and it's a very fundamental issue as we go through Masechet Pesachim. Chametz Sheni Yadua. I don't know that this chametz. Do I violate Bal Yoreh Bal Yemotzeh if there is chametz? Again, we're not talking about Mezid versus Shogeg. We had a long discussion about that at the beginning, our first Shia, you know, whether it's Mesasing. Let's just talk about the following issue. I have a bias, and it's a Mokum Shemach Nisim Bo Chametz. So the whole year round, I bring in chametz there. Let's say I cleaned it. You know, we'll talk about this this mechaber here. He was what was the language? Mechaber is chedro. So he cleaned out his cheder. So I don't know that this chametz there. It turns out, much to my disappointment, there is chametz there. Did I violate Bal Yoreh Bal Yemotzeh? Now Rashi says at the beginning of Masechta Pesachim that the whole entity of bedikas chametz is kedesh lo yaver all of the Bal Yoreh Bal Yemotzeh. We're not talking about someone who has chametz that he knows about. If he knows about his chametz, then he's going to destroy it. But nevertheless, he may have chametz, and therefore we have to make sure that he doesn't violate Bal Yoreh Bal Yemotzeh. Comes along the Pri Chadosh, and he says that Tosis disagrees with Rashi. And Tosis is at the very beginning of the second perek. We'll go over the Tosis very quickly. And Tosis is says the Pri Chadosh is explicit that you don't violate Bal Yoreh Bal Yemotzeh, you don't know about the chametz, you don't know where the chametz is, and that's the sugya of chaya. Chaya means that I feed the chaya with my extra chametz, and the Gemara says I can assume that the chaya will eat up the chametz. The chaya meshayra, she leaves over some chametz, So the Gemara says mitzna, that she'll hide the chametz. So Tosafos asks the question, wait a minute, we have a whole sugya here on daf Heyomet Beis of Bal Yatmin, that you're not allowed to take chametz and hide it, you'll still violate Bal Yiro Bayimotze. Tosafos says that's because you know where you hid it. But if you don't know where you hid it, then there's no Bal Yiro Bayimotze. And therefore, we have no problem feeding the chaya, because Mimonavshah, most of the chametz she ate anyway. And if the Mashaira Matzna, that's the first Gemara daf Chof Aleph, if you have a minute to look it up, we went through it yesterday. Says the Prichadish, you see clearly from Tosis, and Tosis says that since he doesn't know where the chametz is, because the chay was matzna, therefore he doesn't violate Bal Yiro Bayimotze. Azosh state in Tosis, you can't rewrite the Tosis. So the Prichadish therefore assumes that according to Tosis, you would not violate Bal Yiro Bayimotze if you don't know where the chametz is. So therefore, Tosis could not possibly accept the Rashi at the beginning of Pesachim as far as Bedika, namely that the purpose of Bedika is to protect you from Bal Yiro Bayimotze. You don't know about the chametz. And therefore, Tosis comes up with a whole different raison d'etre, a whole different explanation for Bedika's chametz. Namely, it's because of Shema Yavo Li Achla. Comes along the Pnei Yoshua, and he says, no. The Prichadish is making a big mistake. Tosis would also agree that you are over by Rabbi Motze on Chomet Sheni Yadua. Tosis says the exact opposite. He says, depends. Are we talking before Bedika or after Bedika? The Gemara at the beginning of the second parak is talking after Bedika. We'll explain that in just a minute. Before Bedika, Tosin would agree to Rashi that you violate Bal Yiro Bayimotze because you have chametz there. Again, you don't know about the chametz, you can't point it out, you don't know where it is, but nevertheless, you violate Bal Yiro Bayimotze because b'mitzias, the chametz is there. However, the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak is talking about what to do with your extra chametz after Bedik. In other words, a person wants to, set aside
tea breakfast,
as we said yesterday, and then therefore, what do you do with your chametz? Do you have to eat it yourself? Can you feed it to your chaya? Can you feed it to your ofos? Can you feed it to your behemos? And so forth and so on. So Gemara says, no problem feeding it to a chaya, your pet lion, because she'll hide whatever shirayim there are from the chametz. Says Tosus, in such a case, that's how the Pnei Yoshua interprets it, you don't violate Bal Yiro Bayimotze. Why? Because since you did your bedika, and any chametz that you left over, that chametz is not included in Bal Yiro Bayimotze, even if it goes AWOL, even it goes, if it's, somebody's hiding your chametz. When you hide your chametz deliberately, that's called Bal Yatmin, you violate Bal Yiro Bayimotze. When you didn't do Bedika and this chametz any Yadua, you violate Bal Yiro Bayimotze. But when you did your Bedika, and now you have a piece of chametz which you saved, and now you don't know where the chametz is, or at least where the shirayim of that chametz is, that's not Bal Yiro Bayimotze. So if you take a look at the page that I gave you, because this is really the segue for today's discussion, you'll look at page 10, which is the first of the two pages, at a paragraph that says V'ayin v'pnei Yoshua. It's on the left column, underneath the words Chilek ha'pnei Yoshua ben chomet sheni yadua li'achar v'dika l'chomet sheni yadua lifnei v'dika. Yeah?
Yeah?
Everybody have that?
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to close.
So the Pnei Yoshua says the following. Yesh litchos rayas ha-prichodosh mitosvis. Kol masha omu ha-tosvis, I eino yedua me'achomis eino overlov. Mayri, when does Tosvis save you or protect you from Bal Yiro Bayimotze? You don't know where the chometz is. That's only bibodak karoi. You've already completed and fulfilled your mitzvah of bedika. Ella, shenosar lo chometz muot, shirotza laseso lachaya. In other words, instead of feeding himself tomorrow for breakfast, he wants to feed his local pet leopard, right? Ubazeh, kivein, that's what Tosfos says, she'ein lo yediyah brura shashira. Again, first of all, we're not exactly sure if the animal left over parts of the chametz. And not only that, he says, what's going to be with any possible leftover chametz? It's matznia. Kevon shemistavish lo shira klal. Amrinan af im shira vitznia choshev chametz sheino motzui v'eino over olam. In other words, in a case where you haven't done bedika, what's the status of your bias before bedika? It's called a makom shewat shemachnisa bo chametz. Okay, that's called matsui, meaning it's very common and very, let's say, it's you can anticipate statistically a serious probability or possibility that there's chametz there. So you haven't done bedika. The Torah says if you have chametz there, you're going to violate by your rabbi matz and get rid of it. Again, Tosfos Shita says you can get rid of it through bittul. That's a different story. But you got to get rid of this chametz because otherwise you violate by your rabbi matz. That's called chametz matsui. What the Gemara wants to say is that after Bedika, you know, there's a little bit of chametz that you fed to the Chaya, and the Chaya is probably going to eat up all that chametz, and if, in the worst case scenario, there's atznah, that's not called matzui. So that the Pnei Yeshua comes up with this new category called matzui v'eino matzui. And here's the difference. If it's before Bedika, what's the status of that chametz? Matzui, and if it's matzui, you violate by your rabbi matzui. So that's this category. This, you know, we're limiting, we're adding a condition to by your rabbi matzui. By your rabbi matzui is not the existence of chametz. It's not the ownership of chametz. All that is true, but you have to have another condition. It's got to be matzui. And as long as you didn't perform your bedika, that's called matzui. However, after your bedika, then the chametz is, and you gave whatever leftover chametz you wanted to feed to the chaya, that's considered eino matzui. Why? Because there's so many variables here and statistical elements here. Number one, did the animal finish eating the entire chametz? Number two, even if it left it over, what happened to it? It's matznia, and if it's matznia, it's eino matzui. So when you add, again, it's a little bit of a problem here in the Pnei Yeshua. He doesn't tell you exactly how you add up all these factors together. First of all, probably the animal ate up all the chametz, so you don't have to worry about matzui. Secondly, even if the animal left it over, where did it put it? It's matzniyah it. Maybe he means it's matzniyah it in such a way that you don't have access to it. It's outside of your... I don't know, any...
I mean, it means the statistical possibility of finding chametz are so minor.
Correct. So it's not called matzah. The Torah is not interested in such a case because the basic issue of chametz matzah you've covered. How did you cover it?
Bedika.
That's the sheet of the Pnei Yehoshua.
And it's talking about a chaya, she'en mazonot tehem alecha. So even if you were to leave it over and eat it on Pesach itself, it's not like you would be saving something by not having to feed it. You don't have to feed them anyway.
Oh, you mean you don't have any vested interest here? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. That's an interesting idea. In any event, there are a number of proofs here that the Pnei Yehoshua is correct. The most important proof is from the Sugya Daf Vav. The Gemara Daf Vav, which you'll see in the next paragraph of Chen, says the following. Why is it that after the bedika, the Rabbanan required him to be mevatel his chametz, and the Gemara says shemiyimtza gluski yofe bePesach, and if zaitelei he hesitates getting rid of it, then he violates by your rabbi matzai, right? So the Gemara says, well, chimishkachas le'levatle, why are you so nervous about this? In an event that he finds chametz on Pesach that he missed in his bedika, he'll remedy the situation immediately and he'll be mevatelet. So the Gemara says he can't be mevatelet because he finds it after Shas Isura, and there's no bittel after Shas Isura. Again, that's a sugya bittel, which B'li Neder will get to tomorrow. But we see clearly that up until the point in which he finds the chametz, he hasn't violated by your rabbi matzei. So you might say, well, the reason for that is because there's no by your rabbi matzei on the chametz sheni yadua. Says the Pnei Yeshua, no, it's because he already did bittul. I'm sorry, he already did bedika. So why did Rabbanan impose on him another chiyuv of bittul? Because we're afraid that maybe he missed something during his bedika. And if he finds it during Pesach, and it's already after Shas Yisuro, he's going to violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. Says the Pnei Yeshua, apparently, let me read it to you inside again, Kol Zman Shelo Motzas HaGluski Yofa Eino Over B'Bal Yiroh. Now this is a problem. Why? Because according to Pnei Yeshua, we're saying that even if what? Even if he doesn't know about the Chometz, he violates Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. He violates Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. Just one second. Revu the Kol Zman Shelo Motza Esagluski Yofa Eino Over B'Bal Yiroh. But wait a second. The Pnei Yeshua says that according to Tosfos, if there is chametz in your possession, then you will violate Bal Yiroh. But again, what are we talking about now? Before B'dika or after B'dika?
After
B'dika. After B'dika. So the Pnei Yeshua says that you're right. Up until, there's a transition moment. Up until B'dika, we assume that if there is chametz in your rishus, you're going to violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. The Gemara there is saying that he doesn't violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei, and therefore he can make bittul before the Gemara rejects bittul, but at this point the Gemara thinks he can make bittul, and there's no violation of Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. Bittul is going to cover him for Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. How could it be? I mean, there's chametz in his house. Okay, he didn't know about it, but still he should violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei on Chometz Sheni Yadua. The answer is because he already did Bittul. I'm sorry, I keep making the same mistake. He already did Bidika. I only do it to make sure that you're following me. Okay, so the Pnei Yeshua would say that if this Chometz Sheni Yadua, if it's before B'dika, then you violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. If it's after B'dika, you don't violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. Then it's considered a Nematzui, etc., etc. So now we're afraid that maybe he'll find a Gluski Yefeifa. He didn't violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. But what's going to be now? So let him destroy it now. The answer is he's hesitating. It's a Gluski Yefeifa. So what happens, so the Gemara first, before the Gemara knows this, the Gemara says, well, let him make bittul when he finds it. So the Gemara says, no, it's too late, it's after Shas Yisur, he can't make bittul. So all this means that we have to get the bittul there before Pesach, when bittul is meaningful, because in the absence of bittul, if he did a bedika and he finds chametz, and then from then on, at that point that he knows about the chametz, he hesitates destroying it, he'll violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. He does not violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei for the first 4 days of Pesach, because it's called chametz Sheni Yimotzei, because he did his bedika. And now we want to turn to page 11, and now we get to your sugya, Yosef, your favorite sugya of a traveler, right? So what's the deal with a traveler? The Gemara says on Daf Vav that Mefarish v'yotze b'shayara, if he's leaving before Pesach, is he obligated in the mitzvah of Bedika? So the Gemara thinks initially that it depends whether he's planning to return on Pesach. Okay, so Gemara says, "I yotze liderech v'lo chozer lebeiso bePesach." If he has no intention of returning before Pesach, so Gemara says, at least initially, and that's how Rashi interprets it, then he's okay. He doesn't need a bedika. Why? Because he has no intention of returning on Pesach or before Pesach. He didn't make bedika. So he should be violating Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. For lo badak, eino over b'Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. Comes along the Pre-Chadosh, and the Marshal, and they want to derive from this Rashi that says that there's no violation of Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei in the case of Yotzei B'Shayara, because it's Chometz Sheni Yadua. He doesn't know about the existence of the Chometz. And this undermines everything that we've been saying. So the Marshal wants to suggest the following. Rashi says at the beginning of Pesachim that we make a bedika shelo yavar Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei, and yet Rashi says in Yotzei B'Shayara he doesn't need a bedika if he doesn't plan to return on Pesach, because there's no Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. So how do we reconcile these two Rashis? So the Prima Gadim suggests that what Rashi means when he says at the beginning of Pesachim, there's a whole new twist on Rashi, that we have to implement B'dika because otherwise he'll violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzei. The answer is because he might find the Chometz on Pesach. And if he finds the chametz on Pesach, the very moment he sees the chametz, he violates Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So according to the Prima Gadim, with again trying to protect the Marshal, even Rashi holds there's no violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh for chametz Sheni Yedua. Again, we're about to reject this, but just let it sink in for a moment, because this is really, this undermines our basic premise. When we started this sugya, we said the following, that Rashi holds at the beginning of Pesachim that there is a violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh on Chametz Sheni Yedua, and that's indeed why the Torah requires Bedikah. And that's certainly what the Ran says at the beginning of Pesachim to explain Rashi, that we must have a Bedikah to culminate with Biur, because otherwise we're going to violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. And now we're saying, in the name of the Marshal, no. Rashi agrees that if you don't know about the chametz, you don't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. If you don't see the chametz, for example, you go out, you know, on a cruise, and you're not intending at all to come back to possibly see the chametz, there's no Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Why? Because you don't know about the chametz. So it's chametz sheni yedua, and you don't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. And again, Rabbi, see, here we're talking before Bedikah. Yeah, we don't have the luxury of introducing the Pnei Yoshua and saying, well, after Bedikah, you don't violate Bal Yimatzeh. We're talking before Bedikah. And yet Rashi says there's no violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh because he has no intention of returning to his house. He's not going to see the chametz, even if there is chametz. But what about chametz sheni yedua? There is a violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh Chametz Sheni Yedua. Haraya Rashi says that's all reason for Bedikah. And the answer is no. The Prima Gadim says that what Rashi means, that you have to do Bedikah because of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, means because we're afraid you'll find the Chametz on Pesach. Then it becomes Chametz Yedua. And then you're going to violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh.
So as Rashi said, but I guess we did do Bedikah and you
could be that then Rashi would hold like the Pnei Yeshua, that in such a case, you know, right? For sure. But in other words, if according to Rashi, wait a minute, one second. Let me go over it one more time. According to Rashi, the way the Prima Gadim understands Rashi, you will not violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh on Chametz Sheni Yedua, and that's the raya from the Rashi on the Vav of Yotzei B'Shayor. Rashi at the beginning is going to say that in the absence of Bedikah, we're afraid that you might what? You might find chametz. So now you're asking Yechiel, well, so what did I do now? I went ahead and I did a Bedikah. And now I find chametz?
Yeah.
Is that the case?
So the Rashi saying the reason I do Bedikah is because I might find if I didn't do Bedikah, and then I'll be over my answer from the time I found it this time. Not enough.
Right.
So now I said, so do Bedikah. And then if I did find it anyway after Bedikah, then I'm not chayev?
No, I would
I'm
be chayev.
So there's no difference. Bedikah didn't do anything.
No, but Bedikah is going to reduce the probabilities of finding chametz. That's what we want to accomplish through the Bedikah. Meaning, before you do the Bedikah, we're afraid that you'll find the chametz. That's what the Prima Gadim is saying. Shema shebodkim hainu shelo yireh pesach shelo shema yireh chametz bepesach, meaning your bias is full of chametz. It's what word can I use? It's full of chametz. Okay, I'm looking for a word. And if you don't do Bedikah, one of those pieces of chametz that somewhere, you know, Bechorin is stuck is going to all of a sudden pop its head out.
So then, according to the Gadim's understanding of Rashi, it shouldn't matter when you do Bedikah. As long as it's somewhere close to Pesach and you minimize the risk of finding it. It shouldn't have to be Arli Yudalit. It could be any time. It could be your Gimel.
Right. So
our whole purpose is to minimize
the risk. So we're going to have to add another element to the equation, that there are one and established a mitzvah of Bedikah. Meaning, if the whole purpose of Bedikah is to reduce the probabilities of finding the chametz, then you're only being mesalik isur of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, then in a chinami. I don't care when you do the Bedikah. And not only that, you would not even make a bracha on such a Bedikah. So there's no kiyum of Bedikah. Then the Rabbanu went a step further. And they said, no, we're not going to give you just a good piece of advice that if you want to make sure you don't find chametz on Pesach, violate Bal Yirah, do Bedikah. We're going to establish it as an encoded obligation, and now you have a kiyum Bedikah. And now Bedikah becomes the rabbinic way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbis.
So it's a privilege I'm saying in the case of Shayar, someone goes out to Shayar, but since I'm not going to find it on chametz,
correct.
I know how to do
correct. Exactly. It's unbelievable. According to the Prima Gadim, basically what we're saying is that if the purpose of Bedikah is to reduce the probability of finding the chametz, then if you have no intention of being there on Pesach, then there's no need for Bedikah. That's how he justifies this Rashi. But at Kuptos, it comes out according to the Prima Gadim that on Chametz Sheni Yedua, there is no violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. It's only when I find the chametz, then I violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. The Rabbanu were afraid that you'll find it. But in the case of Yosef Shayara, Rashi holds you that we're not afraid that you'll see it.
But Bobby must
pretty be. Wild. I mean, he's going to spend the rest of this article to try to reject this prima godin. You know.
Bali Matze is different than Bali Uriah.
And
he keeps all the time referring to Bali Uriah. And he doesn't.
Did you read the piece that I skipped? Okay, no. Maybe you're machaving. So let's go back. Even yesterday I skipped this piece. There's an unbelievable girsa in Rashi. The question is whether Rashi had such a girsa or not. This is on page 10. I'm only mentioning this to you. I was going to keep this secret because I had another point when I wanted to reveal this secret. But now that you asked the question, Yosef, this is on page 10 on the bottom right, the two paragraphs. So listen to this girsa in Rashi. This is pretty wild. Rashi says that there's a difference between Bal Yimotze and Bal Yiroah. According to this girsa in Rashi, which the Marshal accepted, Rashi would say the following: that in the case of Chomet She'ena Yadua, the Torah says Lo Yimotze. Lo Yimotze means it shouldn't be found. Has nothing to do with you finding the Chomet. It
shouldn't be able to be found.
Correct, exactly. If the Chomet is there, that's called Bal Yimotze. And the proof is because Rashi says that that's how the Gemara derived the conclusion that it's usur to hide chametz. That's called bal yatmin. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk lo yimotze. Now, you hit it. Let's assume you did a good job in hiding it. You're not going to see the chametz, but it's there. It's there to be seen, so to speak, if somebody would only unearth it. And that's called bal yimotze. Bal yimotze means it shouldn't be there. However, Rashi, according to this girsa, exonerates you from Bal Yiroah, because Bal Yiroah only applies when you see the chametz. Now again, before I tell you that this is an impossible girsa, mamashi, dok v'tishkach, there can't be such a girsa. Although the Kesavish seems to accept it. But anyway, before we get to that, let's just enjoy the girsa. He's saying that Bal Yiroah, Bal Yimotze, not just a repetition of the same lav twice. The Kesef Mishnah says, why does the Rambam count it as two lavim? The Rambam has a principle in the Sefer Mitzvah, in the Shroshim, that he never counts a repeat performance as two separate mitzvahs. There must be, therefore, a distinction between Bal Yiroah, Bal Yimotze. The Gemara says that we only know Bal Yatmin because it says Bal Yimotze. As far as Bal Yiroah is concerned, meaning seeing the chametz, Bal Yatmin is not a problem. There's no Isur Bal Yatmin. And Rashi accepts that girsa, that even Lamaskana, this was not just the Habamin in the Gemara, but Lamaskana, according to that girsa Rashi, Bal Yatmin is only a violation of Lo Yimotze, but not a violation of Lo Yiroah. Therefore, in the case, says the Marshal, in the case of chametz She'ena Yadua, there's no violation of Bal Yiroah, but Rashi's worried about Bal Yimotze. Well, I got news for you. Rashi says just the opposite. Open up the first Rashi in Pesachim. It's actually the second Rashi in Pesachim. And see what Rashi says. Rashi says, both give us a chametz. Shelo yavar olav. What does it say?
Bal Yiroah.
Bal Yiroah. So it's very nice that Marshal comes up with this chiddush, and I'll tell you why it's totally unacceptable, not just because Rashi says Farkan, but there is no difference between Bal Yiroah and Matzah. Rashi says that the enterprise of Bedika is for this whole package deal of both Bal Yiroah and Matzah, and I'll tell you why Rashi says so. Because the Gemara on Daf Heyam and Beis establishes what we call Xerah Shava between Bal Yiroah and Bal Matzah. There are certain cases which are only included under Bal Yiroah. There are other cases that are only included by Yimotze. And the Gemara says at the end, Minayin latesis shalzel azeh vazel azeh. And the Gemara is a hekesh. And based on that hekesh, or it's really a gzeirah shava, the Gemara says that anytime you violate this Issa, you violate that Issa. And the Kesef Mishnah is very upset about this because the Rambam, in his Minyan HaMitzvahs, counts Bal Yiroah by Yimotze as two mitzvahs in Tayag, two separate mitzvahs. And the Kesef Mishnah says, how could this be? The Rambam himself in Shoresh Tes says that if the Torah repeats a lav over and over again, we only count it as one lav. And therefore the Kesef Mishnah says, according to the Rambam, how can we count Bal Yiroah by Matzah as two separate lavim? And his answer is that they're not equal. It's not a repetition. Shari, this is the language of Kesed Mishnah. Lo yirahu b'chomitz ha-nir alei nayim. V'lo yimotzei hu agam b'chomitz shalo nir alei nayim. U'lekach monam ha-ramam kishnei lavim. There's a printing error here. So this is amazing, because that Girsin Rashi now is according to the Kesef Mishnah, the opinion of the Rambam, that there are cases of chametz that you can't see, and if you can't see it, and you don't see it, you don't violate Bal Yirah, but you do violate Bal Yimotzeh. And therefore, hence, says the Marshal, if we apply that in Rashi's frame of reference based on that Girsa, then are you in violation of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh in the case of chametz and Yidua or not? And the answer is Yesh L'chalik. If you're talking about Bal Yirah, then Eino Chinami Rashi would agree there's no violation of Bal Yirah on Chometz Sheni Yedua. But if on the other hand you're talking about Lo Yimotzeh and you happen to have Chometz there, you don't know about it, you can't see it, but nevertheless you violate Bal Yimotzeh. And it comes out then that if we take this whole approach based on that Girsin Rashi, then the Pri Chadash, who insists that according to Tosfos you do not violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh in Chometz Sheni Yedua, we're not going to accept that interpretation of Tosfos, because the Pnei Yeshua says that Tosfos is only discussing a case where you already did Bidika, and then Enochinam you don't violate Bal Yirah Bayimotze if you don't know where the Chaya hid the Chometz. But Enochinam before Bidika you do violate Bal Yirah Bayimotze. Now we have a possibility of accepting the Pri Chadash, not according to Tosfos, but according to Rashi, vis-a-vis Bal Yirah, that there is no, that what the Prima Gadim says according to Tosfos is no violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh with Chometz Sheni Yedua, we can accept that according to Rashi there's no violation of Bal Yirah with regard to Chometz Sheni Yedua, but you will violate Bal Yimotzeh in Chometz Sheni Yedua. So we have three shitas. We have two polar extremes with a compromise sheet in the middle. We have one sheet that says that you always violate both Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh on Chometz Sheni Yedua if you find out about the Chometz is there. The other extreme would say you never violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh on Chometz Sheni Yedua, even if you find the Chometz. And then you have the middle sheet that differentiates between Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotzeh. Now add to that the Pnei Yeshua, and the Pnei Yeshua says, well, whether you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh on Chometz Sheni Yedua depends on whether you did Bidika or you didn't do Bidika. Before Bidika, according to the Pnei Yeshua, everybody agrees that you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, both Lavim, both according to Rashi and according to Tosfos. After Bidika, there's no violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh because the Chometz is Eino Motzeh. And now he rejects this compromised Shita totally. He says, Ach Zed Dochak. This is very difficult. Why? Because Rashi seems to assume that unless you do Bidika, you violate immediately Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. In other words, the Prima Gadim, when he addresses the Rashi at the beginning of Masechta Pesachim, he says, you know what? Rashi's talking about a case where he found the Chometz, and he saw the Chometz. That's why he violates Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. That's not what it says in Rashi. Rashi says that the reason why we need Bidika and why the Chachamim enacted a requirement of Bidika is because of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. He's not saying that if and when you find the Chometz, then you'll violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. The truth is that I could live with this question. I don't think I would throw in the towel based on this cash. Rashi might be saying, and that's, I think, the Prima Gadim makes a good case of this, that the reason why the Chachamim required Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh is because the Chometz, you know, the house is full of Chometz, so to speak, potentially, and you'll no doubt, or there's a very high probability that you'll encounter a piece of Chometz during Pesach, and then you'll violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. That's not terrible. But then he goes on, and this, I think, is what I call a TKO. I mean, there's no way you can answer this question. The Gemara says the following, that Bidikas Chometz, this is the Sugya Daf Dalet Amid Beis, is Derabbanan. The Gemara says, why is Bidikas Chometz Derabbanan? Because Midoraisa, Bibitol Ba'alma, Sagile. What's the implication, Rabbosai? If he hadn't done Bittol, then Bidikas Chometz would be what? Doraisa. Well, that's not because he might find the Chometz. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara wants to know, according to Torah law, am I obligated to do a bedikah? Does the Torah absolutely require me to do a bedikah? Now, I'm not talking about chashashas, maybe down the line, he'll this, he'll that, he'll find chametz, blah, blah, blah. No! The Gemara wants to know, is bedikas chametz as an enterprise an absolute obligation according to Torah law? The Gemara says no. Why not? Because midraisa bebitul baal mesagile. Mevuah begemara. The lilo bittul, if he didn't do bittul, boy bedikah midaraisa, and you're not going to say, well, it's chametz sheni yadua. Apparently, you violate by your matzah, even though it's chametz sheni yadua, and therefore the Torah requires you to do bedikah. You have an option of doing bittul. Fine, enochinam. The Torah would be absolutely satisfied with bittul, but if you didn't do bittul, then the Torah itself would require bedikah. This is basically the Ran, the whole first Ran, you know, the Leficha, that long paragraph in the Ran at the beginning. I think it's Leficha, right? I'm sorry. Elakachu Ikron Shel Dvarim. This whole long paragraph in the Ran is all about this. That basically the Torah gave you two options. You want to circumvent Bali Rabbi Motzi, I'll give you two alternatives. You want to go down the path of Bedikah, the Torah is relying on Bedikah. You want to take Bittul, the Deraisa Bittul Bamasagi, you have that possibility as well. But clearly, says the Ran, if you don't avail yourself of the option of Bittul, you're stuck with Vayu Rabbi Matzeh. And we're not talking about some chashash, that's what we're talking about. And therefore, he says, beyond the shadow of a doubt, there is Vayu Rabbi Matzeh without Bedikah, and prior to Bedikah, for chametz she'ena yadua. Now take a look in the next paragraph. Okay, so you know what I'm going to do now, if it's okay with the Olam, I'm very eager to start the next line in the Gemara that we got up to. So make a note, if you can, on your page, I'm going to do it on my page, that Beli Nether will come back and finish this article on another. Achal Rashi Yiksha. Okay? But what I wanted to learn with you now is the sugya that we're mamish up to in the Gemara. The last sugya that we covered, which was on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, was the sugya of Zman Bedika. And we came to the conclusion that the Zman Bedika, according to most Rishonim, is after Tzeis HaKochavim. And Abai says, therefore, let's not get involved in learning Torah at the end of Yud Gimel, because we'll get so engrossed in our Torah learning that we won't fulfill the mitzvah of Bedikah. And the Rambam interprets it means we won't fulfill the Takaras Chachamim, that Bedikah has to take place at the beginning of Leil Yudal. Boy, me name Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Everybody have the place? We're on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Right after Abaye. You remember Abaye's whole Shtikl Torah, that don't get involved in learning before the night of the 14th, and now we're up to Boy Minemi Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. It's very fascinating because this sugya, which takes us in different permutations all the way to the two dots and Amud Beis, is like every single time the Gemara quotes Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. This was his sugya, the sugya of Bedikas Chametz. So what was the question that was posed to him? You're all familiar with this Gemara, but you know what? I have to present it anyway. Hamaskir bais l'chaver barbasar al mi livdok. Who's obligated in bedikas chametz? We have the maskir and the socher. Now the maskir owns the house, but there's something called a kinyan schiras. So in effect, he's involved in a quasi sale called Schirus. We have a principle all over Shas that Schirus Kanya. And now, can the Maskir give up, so to speak, forfeit his obligation to do Bdika by simply transferring ownership over the house to a Socher? Now, theoretically, the same question could apply if he sells the house. Let's assume now, like those we showed him, that the Gemara only quotes the case of a Maskir and a Socher, because that's more common, you know, what we call Dibra Kosa Behova. And it's very common that, you know, he's going away for Pesach and he figures, why not get some rental money? And he rents his house out. So when does the Socher move into the house? on the night of Yudal. Now, he's not interested in the Sofer doing Bedika, even though the Gemara says in Amid Beis, normally a person wants to do a mitzvah, but in the case of Bedika, we don't necessarily apply that. For instance, a Tircha Gedola, and he'd rather push it off onto the Maskir, let the Maskir do Bedika. So the Gemara now vacillates as to whether the Maskir is Chayv in Bedika or the Socher is Chayv. Now the Gemara analyzes the two Tzdodin. He says, Allah Maskir lived out the Chamir di Dehu. Should we assume that the imposition is on the mosque, the obligation, because he owns the chametz? It's like, you know, why do I have to clean up your rubbish, so to speak? You know what I mean? Oh, Dilma, la socha livdok, the isura birshusei koi. Because the chametz is in his possession, meaning now he owns the house, midin schirus, and he's got somebody else's chametz. Now, again, this touches on a whole sugya later on in Daf Hey, about Chometz Shei Yisrael B'Shus Yisrael, and whether or not you violate Bal Yerobai Matzeh. But now we're not talking about Bal Yerobai Matzeh, we're talking about Bedika. So if a Jew's Chometz is all over my house, my house reeks from Chometz, if you pardon the phrase, then I have to do the Bedika, because I'm living in this house. I have to live in a house that's Baduk. I can't live in a house over Pesach that's Bilti Baduk. Or should we say no? The Socher has right to point his finger to the mosque and say, hey, it's your chametz, you get rid of the chametz. I don't want to get rid of the chametz. So Rashi says the following. The chamira di dehu, this is about three lines down in the wide lines. Ha chametz shebabayis shalohu. Right, so that's the mosque here. Or, says Rashi, v'rshusei koi the Socher sharei ato Habayis Shalom. Mm-hmm. Now the bias is his. So that's called Bershusei Koi. The Chametz still remains.
It can be both. The house is yours, but the contents are mine.
Right. I'll tell you why. Because although there's a din of Chatzer Shal Adam Konolo, but it doesn't apply against the person's will. Because the Maskon of the Sugya in Bamatzia is that Chatzemi Din Shlichus. And there's no such shlichus against the person's will. So the Socher has a right to say, look, I'm renting your house, but thanks, but no thanks, I don't want your chametz. Even if it's good beer or good whiskey, I don't want the headache. So we cannot impose ownership on the Socher in the context of Chatzer Shel Adam Konolo, and therefore the Socher owns the house, he's going to live in the house with the chametz, but the chametz still remains the Maskir's chametz. Again, Tosfos can have a long discussion here about Bittul, but let's leave out Bittul now. We're going to focus all our attention on Bedika. So Rashi seems to say, if I read Rashi correctly, that there's ample reason to be Mechayev both the Maskir and the Socher. Meaning Rashi is willing to say that Achometz Bebayis Shalohu, and therefore the Maskir should do the Bedika. Or alternatively, the Socher is Chayev Bedika because Harei Ato Abayis Shalohu. Now the bais is his, and he's living with chametz in the house. So the chametz belongs to the maskir, right? And the bais belongs now to the socher.
Sounds like you can split and say that the maskir could be chayav on bayim matzeh, and the socher could be chayav on bayim rokeh.
That's interesting, because the maskir, who's exempt from bayim rokeh?
The one who's living in the house could be a chayav on bayim rokeh, because he's one who'll see.
Right.
The one who's not going to see him, but he owns it will be the one who's chayav on bayim matzeh, because he's causing it to be found.
But it's going to get more complicated, Yechiel, because it could be that the transaction took place after. See, we don't know.
When did he get the key?
Right. Do you remember we said over and over again that when there's a chiyuv bedika, then you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession? So it could be that if the schiris was kanya, if the agreement was binding after the shas chovaso, then already the maskir. So Tosis is going to go through this whole thing. I'm not ready for Tosis yet. The sugya is complicated enough without Tosis. So for today, you'll be meichel me. I'll just focus on Rashi. Tosis is going to introduce a whole different element that if the maskir already became chayav, can he transfer the chiyuv and through the kinyan be mafkir the chovas mitzvahs bedika? But Rashi doesn't seem to go with that approach, and Tosis has a problem with Rashi. But Rashi seems to assume that there's good enough reason to be chayav both the socher and the maskir, each one for a different reason. The problem that I have here is that the Gemara is going to answer this question with mezuzah. If, let's say, I own a house and I rent it out to you, I'm the maskir, you're the socher, who's chayav in mezuzah? And the Brisa actually tells us who is chayav in mezuzah. The Gemara thinks, therefore, we're going to know who's chayav in bedikas chometz. Toshma, hamaskir bayis lichavero, ala socher lasos lo mezuzah. Now Rashi is going to try to explain here, as we'll soon see in Rashi, that just like in mezuzah, the socher who's renting the house has to put up the mezuzah. The Gemara, keep in mind, doesn't know yet the secret here that mezuzah is different because it's a chovas hadar, which has nothing to do with ownership. But right now the Gemara doesn't know that. So the Gemara is oblivious to that fundamental breakthrough. And the Gemara thinks that mezuzah is a classical case of a maskir and a socher. There's no reason why the maskir should be chayv more than the socher, or the socher more than the maskir. They're both, there's ample reason to be mechayv both of them. So Rashi says, at the end of this Rashi, Dibra maskil chovas hadar, I'm sorry, Rashi before chovas hadar, you see the last of mezuzah. Rashi says, Alma, what do we see from this? Midi de mitzvah, alei ramye. Alei means on the socher, correct? Because the Brisa establishes that the socher has to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. Let's just summarize. We have two halachic issues in two different scenarios. One is as far as bedikah, and the other is as far as mezuzah, but they both hinge on the same issue, which means, again in the Havin of this Gemara, that in mezuzah there's ample reason to be mechayev the maskir because he owns the house. There's ample reason to be mechayev the socher because he's living in the house. And the same vacillation applies to chametz as far as bedikah is concerned. There's reason to be mechayev the maskir because he owns the house. There's reason to be mechayev the socher because he's living in the house. Excuse me. And Rashi says the following, that midi de mitzvah, in other words, we're setting up something abstract that's common to both bedikah and to mezuzah. Right, we're oblivious to any distinctions between doraisas and drabonins, all that is irrelevant. And therefore, Rashi says, midi de mitzvah. What do you do with a mitzvah that's common as far as its obligation is concerned? You have a common machayev, if you will, a sivas hachiyuv to both the maskir and the socher. And the Gemara is going to quote mezuzah to prove that in such a battle between maskir and socher, it's the socher who picks up the chiyuv. And therefore, in bedikah, it's the socher should be chayev in bedikah. Now, Rabotai, I have a problem with this because even in the Havamina of the Gemara, I mean, to equate mezuzah with bedikas chametz seems so far fetched to me. What does it mean to say that in mezuzah the socher is chayev? Is that because midi the mitzvah le ramye? Can I really extrapolate or derive from mezuzah that any tug of war where you could have a chiyuv and impose it on both the maskir and the socher, so the socher becomes chayev? I'm not sure that that's so. Maybe in the case of mezuzah, who's going to benefit from this mezuzah? The socher is going to benefit from the mezuzah. I'm not sure. Again, if you're telling me that in the case of chometz, I as the socher have the right to point to the maskir and say, my friend, with all due respect, but it's your chometz, get your chometz out of here. I didn't want to rent the house. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask if he has the right to get his money back. I didn't want to rent the house with your chometz and then have to be responsible for your chometz. Not only that, Tosa says, but and who's going to violate the Ayurah by Yimotze? Well, the maskir owns the chometz. The socher has no intention of acquiring ownership on the chometz. The maskir is the one who's in charge, who's going to be on the... His head is on the chopping end as far as Ayurah by Yimotze is concerned. So what does it mean? Midi the mitzvah alei ramye. Did I quote Rashi correctly?
Yeah, but who's the Ale?
Ale means on the Socher.
The Socher.
Right. Midei the mitzvah, Ale Rami. So on both sides, I just want to add another element into this sugya that I think, according to Rashi, must be mentioned. You can't leave this out. Bedika is not just a chovas gavra, but rather it's a chovas bias. You may recall, if you turn back the rewind the clock a little bit, that we spoke about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Remember, it says Ner Ish U Beso, that there's a chiyuv on the bias, and therefore the entire bias will fulfill that mitzvah of Ner Chanukah together as one entity. In the case of chametz, you've got a bias with chametz in it, and the halacha requires that the bias be baduk, and until you do the bedika and you have a bias with chametz in it, there's no fulfillment of that goal of creating a bias baduk. Here's where the equation to mezuzah comes to play. And Tosfos, by the way, in Masechet Sukkah actually equates Ner Chanukah with mezuzah insofar as they're both a chovas bias. Mezuzah has something basic in common with chametz, with bedika. It's a chovas bias. And the question is, when you have a chovas bias, and there's a tug of war between the maskil and the socher, who should be chayev in implementing the chovas bias? We're going to look to mezuzah as the paradigm of chovas bias to determine the answer. And the answer is that midi the mitzvah alei ramye, that the socher has to pick up the chovas bias. Meaning that ownership of the house is not more powerful, shall we say. It cannot trump the living in the house. Meaning if I have the ownership of using the house and benefiting from the house, that itself is enough to, shall I say, schlep, to pull the chovas bias in my direction as the socher. And the Gemara says, therefore, in a case of bedikas chametz, theoretically you could be mechayev the maskir insofar as he owns the chametz, the socher insofar as he's living in the house, and therefore the chametz is in his reshus, either one of them could be chayev in bedika. So what do we do in such a case? Flip a coin? Who's going to be chayev in the bedika? And the answer is, when it's a chovas bias, we're going to look towards mezuzah, and we're going to try to establish in a chovas bias who should pick up the chiyuv. And here we find the mezuzah that the socher picks up the chiyuv, and the same thing is going to apply to bedikas chametz. Now we have about 15 minutes, and I have this personal interest in learning about the Haggadah. So again, so far no one has really, no one has said either nay or yay. So I'm gonna in the meantime, you know, use my poetic license here so I have this sefer that I like a lot called the Haseder HaAruch. I think you've got these pages already. Is there anybody who needs a copy? Yeah, that's what I'll tell you in just a minute.
Open up your Haggadah.
Yeah. So we're in Perek Ayin Dalet, and I chose this Perek to begin with to sort of kick off this project because there are a lot of chidushim here about the Haggadah, meaning about the way we fulfill the mitzvah of Haggadah, that at least for me, this came as a real... These different chidushim come as a real surprise. First of all, he has a machlokes about Heseba with regard to the Amiras HaGadah. We know that the four cups of wine have to be drunk b'Heseba, which means Derech Heirus. What about the HaGadah? Each one of the four cups of wine was organized on a part of the Haggadah, right, a bracha, and there are four brachos that are the main brachos on the night of Pesach. And does the requirement of Heseba apply just to the drinking of the kos, or does it apply to the recitation of the Haggadah or those brachos that are established on the four kosos. And earlier in this sefer, he quotes the Meiri, and the Meiri says that lechatchila, if all things are equal, you should do haseba even during the Amiras Hagon. Here, he quotes a sefer which I'm not familiar with, and he says, "No, there's a halacha of Ema v'Yira." In other words, the Amiras Haggadah is much more than just experiencing or re-experiencing the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which would mean I want to be in a state of Cheres of Haseva, the way the Meiri has it. Here we have an extra copy if you want.
Who is this?
This is Weingarten is his name. But rather there's an element here of Talmud Torah. Now we have a rule in Talmud Torah called Ema V'Yira V'Reses. That's the way the Torah was given at Har Sinai, and we have to imitate that. I remember, I'm just reminiscing, when I was 19 years old and I learned in the yeshiva, there was a fellow in the yeshiva, I still remember his name, I'm not going to mention it, maybe, I don't think it's Lashon Hara, but, and he was a chain smoker, maybe that's Lashon Hara. But what he used to do is, again, this is not normal behavior, but he used to lie in bed smoking cigarettes with Rabbi Akiva Eiger and answering Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kashas. He was a genius, but a little bit fluky, to say the least. You know, he needed some serious help. I heard that later on, I only stayed in yeshiva for 2 years, but down the line he actually had some psychiatric help. But he used to. That's not called the aim of a yira. The aim of a yira is not lying in bed, you know, with a book in front of you and triumphing Rabbi Kivega's kashas while you're smoking half cigarette. That's not what it's about. So here we have in Amiras Haggadah, and I start with this because I think it's a very interesting fundamental beginning, you know, an introduction. A paradox. There's an overlap here between. Of two kiyumim in the reading of the Haggadah. On the one hand, the Haggadah and all the four brachas that we recite over the four kosos is an integral part of Derech Cherus and Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, Chayav on the Liris and Satzman. The Meiri therefore advocates that you should recite those four brachas Be'eseva, like the kosos themselves, which are drunk Be'eseva. But the paradox is because there's also a kiyum of Talmud Torah. And there are very strict rules with regard to Talmud Torah. And it's called the Aim of the Yira. So what should win out over here? Should we put, you know, it's a tug of war. Should we put in favor of the maskir or the socher, right? Is it in favor of the Talmud Torah element and therefore Yesh Lomar Haggadah B'Ema V'Yira? Or shall we say no, it's CPT's Mitzrayim and it's just the opposite of Ema V'Yira. You know, now we have no master on top of us, we are free and we want to demonstrate that freedom with Haseva. Okay. Now he says the following. There is a halacha with regard to Talmud Torah called Amida. I think we discussed it here in this room not that long ago. Because of the Poskata Po Amodi Mod. Again, after Rav Gamliel, things change. But in the pristine, you know, abstract halacha, there's a din of Amida. And I would assume, again, you can disagree with me, that if somebody would decide that he wants to stand during the study of Torah, that would be praiseworthy. I would not tell him, Zetzek Avek, you know, sit down. Why are you standing? I remember again in Rav Salvation's class, there was one fellow in the back of the room who used to stand for most of the shiur. I never heard the Rav say, sit down. You know, there's a kind of aim of the yira in standing. He says the following, that even if we impose upon the Amiras Haggadah Kiyum of Talmud Torah, we do not advocate in favor of Amida. And here's the compromise. On the one hand, there's reclining, which is a kind of Shechiva, if you want to call it that. We call it a Seva. On the other extreme, we call it Amida. That's how a servant should stand by the aim of the year in front of his master. Here we have a paradox. We have Shnei Ksuv Machishim Zetzel. On the one hand, it's Talmud Torah, and that requires Amida and Ema V'Yira. On the other hand, the reading of the Haggadah is part of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's part of Derech Cherus, and therefore to require Heseva. What's the pshara here? What's the compromise between Heseva and Amida? Yeshiva. And basically what it means is we're going to take our Amiras HaGadah and bring it to Yeshiva, like any Yeshiva. When we want to read something of Torah and we want to focus on our learning and we want to understand the Be'iyun, it's a Yeshiva. That's why we call the Yeshiva, Yeshiva. And that doesn't undermine the aim of Yira. Once Rabbi Gamliel died, then Yeshiva was considered aim of Yira. Again, it has to be with a proper mindset, but it's aim of Yira. Haseba we're not going to allow. Because Haseba will be going too far in favor of Derech Eretz and completely trump the element of aim of Yira. So we want to have some element of aim of Yira. We want to have some element of Derech Eretz. We got to tug a wash next to him, and therefore Yeshiva is the way to go. What happens if a person wants to stand? You know, he says, okay, you're telling me I'm allowed to sit, but I want to stand for the Agoda. What would we say to him now? Setzakavek. Sit down. If it's pure Talmud Torah, he wants to be machmer on himself, he wants to stand. So Zayin HaZoy, let him go that way. But if you talk about Derech Eretz, then Amida would be the total, how should I say, polar opposite of Derech Eretz, that we don't want. Now, in Se'if Dalet, again, a big chiddush for me, a new interpretation of the word vihigadita. And I'll just tell you this, in the past, what I remember from Rav Soloveitchik is that he used to say that vihigadita is miloshen shevach v'odoya. And he had a long discussion about the essential critical element of Hallel that's woven into the fabric of the Haggadah. But I never in my mind knew that there's a whole different interpretation of Vigadita. And Vigadita, according to the Targum in Shmos Yud Gimel, means Vitechve. Vitechve, you may remember that's an Aramaic word that appears very often in Shas. Whenever an Amora wanted to demonstrate something with his finger, he would say Vitechve, which means look at my head or look at my finger. Kloma Vitire. So the word Vigadita means to point to something, in effect. And what it means is that I'm going to point out to my household and teach them about the nisim or the neflos of Avoseinu b'Mitzrayim. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I think I did, that my son has this minhag at the Seder, you know, he throws around into this. I told you that. And I would say that even below Yodin, without his knowing it, he's being kind of the Targum's interpretation of Igadita. And Vigadita means not just to read something, but to demonstrate it in such a way that somebody could see it. And now we turn to Daf Tav Chav, which I think you'll see on this on the flip side of your page. And he says the following, that with regard to Kriyas HaGadah, there's Halach of Kol Ram. Now look, if I'm alone, no one is hearing my HaGadah, I'm not leading the Seder, then I could l'chora just whisper the Haggadah, maybe even just think the Haggadah. The Maharal Miprag is famous for saying, why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Igadito Lebincha, Sibritis Mitzrayim? Says the Maharal, because it's a mitzvah b'machshava. We don't make a bracha on a mitzvah b'machshava. He gives a number of examples of a mitzvah that we fulfill b'machshava. And they don't get a mitzvah. They don't get a bracha, excuse me. Now, at this particular moment, what we're seeing here, again, he quotes it from Hasidic sources, but the answer is that, although he does quote the Siach Yitzchak, Siach Yitzchak, I think, is from the Talmidim of the Gaon, if I'm not mistaken. But most of what he quotes here are Hasidic sources. And it's not enough just to think about the Haggadah. You have to enunciate it. And once you have to enunciate it, there's another halacha called Bekol Ram. And this is based on a Gemara at the end of Shabbos that says, Kol Ona, Bekol Kocha, a person should answer Amen with all his might, all his power. Or Amen Yeshmei Rabba, is Posilo Shari Gan Eden. Now again, I don't know exactly why the Achronim, he mentioned in the footnote number 11, would equate Haggadah with the case of Yehishmei Rava, because Yehishmei Rava is what we call the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Here, I don't think we're involved in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, but the equation to Amen might be appropriate, and I'll tell you why. Who is actually reciting the Haggadah? So if you fast forward for a moment to number Ches, which is on the next page, he brings down two opinions on this question. Yesh Sovrim, Shebnei Abayis, Enom Omrim Haggadah, El Yotzin Bishmiya Mibala Abayis. So the concept of Amen here, in the context of Haggadah, is not totally foreign. Again, I'm not saying that the people listening to the Haggadah, according to the Shita, which we'll soon see is the Shita's Rambam, is to answer Amen. I never heard, and I don't think the Rambam required Amen when you hear the Haggadah reading. But the Shomer Ka'ona element, without Amen, means that I am hearing his recitation. And if I'm hearing his recitation, then it makes absolute sense that we should require Kol Ram. Because Kol Ram, like in the case of Ha'ona Amen B'Kol Kocho, requires that I link up with someone else's Amira. And in doing so, what we call Shavei Ka'ona, there should be a Kol Ram over here. Now, I'm not justifying this Kol Ram according to the other opinion that says that, on the contrary, let everyone read the Haggadah to themselves, that they're ready for Mincha. But at least according to the Rambam, we can appreciate the Kol Ram, because we want to be motzi those who are listening. Okay, Rav Osei, so right now we have to go to Mincha, but if you don't mind, we could continue with this tomorrow. Again, at the end of Shia, I want to sort of dedicate the last 10-15 minutes of Shia, maybe even longer, because I'm afraid that Pesach is going to swoop down upon us before we know it.